Today is Daf Mem Vav. We are on Mem Hei Amud Beis, about seven lines from the bottom. We're still talking about the foot of Sidra, about the spinal cord. The question is, though, is up to when does the spinal cord end? We're going to ask now, right? So the spinal cord, right? So every time you have to talk about when the end of a certain body part, it makes a difference. What makes that body part? What in that body part makes the animal free? So we have to just know where it ends. So Ad Heichan Chut HaSidra. Until where is the Chut HaSidra? Where is it at? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ad Bein HaParashos. Until between the branches. So it's interesting to talk about. But the Chut HaSidra is basically extends, it goes from the brain to the tail of the animal, and encased by what's called the chulios, which are the vertebrae, right? And that's the vertebrae of the sidra, of the spinal column. So Rashi explains, which is interesting because it's not 100% true, but we'll read something here. Rashi explains that when the spinal cord reaches the area above the thighs, it sends off two, quote, branches, otherwise known as nerves. One branch to each leg. The cord is going to then continue right further down the spinal column. Then another point, it will again send off two branches, okay? One to each side. The cord then proceed even further down, and further back towards further caudal, which is towards the rear of the animal, and then it's going to give off branches again to each leg. So the first three set of branches are used by the Gemara to delineate the border, the caudal border of the spinal cord with regard to the left of the trapezius. So you have these three coming off. The problem is that they ask, Rashi and the Gemara is a little problematic because nerves branch off the spinal cord throughout the entire its entire length. It's not just in these three at the bottom. Throughout the entire length, you have nerves branching off. So it's actually true that every intervertebral space in between each vertebrae, there are nerve endings that branch off. So why is this, these three at the bottom given special distinction that they're called haparashos? These are the branches. There's so many other branches that come off. So there, because of this, as Rabbi Lack is quoting, he said, because of this, there are many achronim, including the Yad Yehud and the Achichuvah, who use other interpretations of what Parashos is. But he quotes over here that it's fascinating. I read this on the side. In truth, however, Rashi's position is very tenable in light of a discovery about the spinal cord first recorded by Western science in the late Middle Ages. It was discovered that the nerves that come off the spinal cord are not a segment of the cord itself, they are merely attached to it. The cord, after the offshoot, is just as thick as it was previously, meaning that what offshoots up to coming off is not part of the cord. It's a special thing that's attached to the cord at that spot. However, when you get to the etzema parashos, when you get to what's called sacrum, which is the bone of the spinal column right above, sacrum, the bone of the spinal column is right above the thighs, so then that's no longer the case. Rather, the nerves that branch off the cord at this place are actually part of the cord itself. These three. And the remaining cord that continues on towards the tail is mostly thinner. So basically, those things that are branching off are peeling off the spinal column as opposed to just being something that attaches to it. So the occurrence where the cord itself becomes a branch out, that is called the Chut HaSidra. That's the end of the Chut HaSidra. And what remains afterwards is considered a collection of nerves. So the book, the Kosher Code, observes this phenomenon called, it's called, help me here, the Chorda Equina? Chorda Equina, by Western science, is recorded among the pages of the Talmud, right? It's over 1,000 years before it was described by Andreas Laurentius, something like that. Whatever, the point being is that there is a distinction between these three branches that come off. Ravelsky says these are the nerves, for those who are interested, it's called the L6, S1, S2. Those are that come off. That doesn't mean anything to me, but it may help those who actually know anatomy. Okay. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, I've been a parasha. So up to that point, once you start, and the problem's going to be, we'll see later, well, what the three branches, so which one is the demarcation. So Rabdimi Bar Yitzchak HaBekaboy Levei Chozoi. Rabdimi Bar Yitzchak came to Bei Chozoi, right, he wanted to know what is the Ben HaParasha. So also the Kameh de Rabbi Yehuda, he came in front of Rabbi Yehuda, I should say Rabbi being Rabbi Yehuda. So Amr Lay, he said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lechli Mar Ben HaParashos, show me on an animal, where is Ben HaParashos? Lechli Mar Ben HaParashos Hecha. So Amr Lay, Zil Aisli Gediv Achila, bring to me some sort of, give me the animal, give me the Gedi, and I'll show it to you. So Aiti Lay Gedi Shemei, they brought him a really fat Gedi, I guess it wasn't skinned or filleted yet. So Amalei, Bliat Svevelo Yadiyah. It's too fat. I can't point it out to you the place where it is. I think that's what he's saying.
It was stored in skin.
So why can't he see it? I guess he couldn't rip it apart. He couldn't rip it apart yet. So then Aitilei Kaklus. You burn a real skinny one. So Amalei Bilitan Tvei. I guess the Lo Yadiyah. I guess its bones are protruding too much, and I still can't show it to you. He didn't have time to remove everything to get to the internal organs. So he says, Amalei to Agmar Gemara. All right, so I'll teach it to you. I'll tell it to you orally. I won't show it to you, but I'll tell it to you. All right. He said, Amar Shmuel ad ha'achas trefa. Up to the, remember we have three of these branches coming off. So up to the first branch. So you hit the first branch. That's trefa. If there's some sort of hole or there's some sort of deficiency in the spinal cord up to the first branch, that's considered trefa. Shlishis, when you get to the third one, if there's a deficiency over there, that's kshera. That's still kshera. Shnia, but what happens if it gets to the second one, that is going to be any day, I don't know. And Zavar Sufik, obviously Paskin, Lechumra. So now the Gemara asks, okay, well, what is it? Ad the Klal? What's the story? So, Boy Ravuna Braid Rav Yeshua, do we say Ad the Klal? That the Zchut HaShit, because the way you have it is you have the branch, it's coming down, and the branches come off on either side. So is it up to there, or is it the distance, like the branches come down like this? So is the distance of the spine to the end of the branches also? Is that considered part of the branches as well? So that the first one, the spinal cord would extend further down. Is it ad the cloud, or is it odiomo ad the low ad the cloud? It's not a trade for if only if the chutz sidrik has a hefek up to the point where these branches branch off of the spinal column. So by Rav Papa asks, in Tuse Lomer ad the low ad the cloud, that it's not inclusive of the branches, then Pi Parasha Mahu. What's the story about the Pi Parasha? So the Pi Parasha, my understanding of the Pi Parasha is that Pi Parasha is right before the Parasha. I guess it's that where they attach. I don't know how he explains it over there. I think it's where it's the mouth of the Parasha. So I would think for me the actual point of connection between the parashos and the spinal cord, what's the story over there? Is Ad the Klal include that area or not? Maybe it's excluded. If we say Ad the low Ad the Klal, that means it doesn't include this portion of the spinal column where that equates where the branches are, but does that mean right where the branches attach? What about that small place? And then another subject, Vayeh Rav Yirmiya, if Tim Say Lomer Ad the Ad the Klal, let's say you say Ad the Ad the Klal, right, that includes the length of the spinal column up to the point where the branches go right here, so we'll put the spinal column down to that area. What about the parasha itself? Parasha Atma. What if there's a deficiency in the parasha itself? Is that going to cause a trade for Mahu? What's the din about this? About that? So Tashma, so come learn a raya. We're trying to learn a raya about the last case. I'm pointing about having a pgam in the parasha. If you say Adi Adi Klal, if you say Adi Lo Adi Klal, so it's only up to the point of the parasha, so there's no shayla on the branches themselves, because they're not going to be included. If you say Adi Adi Klal, that means the spinal column is now descending even further, so maybe that will include the parashas that come off. So Tashma, ha parasha, this parasha, the branch that comes out, Tidon Kibasar, it's got the same din as meat. If you have a hole in the meat, a big deal. It doesn't make a difference. The fat itself has a nick. That's only if it has an important internal organ. So my love, what are we talking about here? Again, we have three parashas. So aren't we not talking about the parsha rishona ushniya? We're talking about the first two parashas that they're like meat. So that means the third parasha we know for sure is fine, because even no matter what everyone said, when you get to the third parasha, it's kosher. The first one we said was no good, and the second one we had a suffix. But now about the parasha itself, we say here's judged like meat. Even that's talking about the Rishon and the Shnia. So when it says Lo Shlishis, no, it's talking about the third one. The third one, we know that area down there in the spinal column is not considered a trefa if there's a nick over there. So the branches that come off from there clearly also are not. I don't know what the chiddush would be then. So then the Gemara says now, the Ofa, when it comes to the Of, right, in the bird, so what Rav Yane says, L'mata mina agapayim, it's below the connecting points with the wings, Reish Lakish Amar Ad Ben Agapayim, up to the connecting points, right? The spinal cord is vulnerable to trefos until below the wings, while Reish Lakish says until between the wings. It's really a very small, minute difference. The wings, essentially, right, the wings of the bird are attached to the body at the top of the chest cavity, opposite the bottom of the bird's long neck. So the wings have three sections. Raviani's view is that the spinal cord extends until below the wings. Okay, that's what he says. And what Reish Lakish says, it says until between the wings. I don't know exactly where on the bird that is, but it seems to be, according to Rashi, a pretty minute difference as to where the this Kutta Sidra is. But you have to have a different demarcation as opposed to the other animals, because fowl apparently don't have these branches that come off. Okay, so Amar Ula. Ula says, Hava ka'amina kanei de Ben Pazi. I was sitting in front of the Chacham named Ben Pazi, va'aitu l'kamei opa. They brought him a bird, I guess, to check the Chut HaSidra to see whether it was complete or it had some sort of issue with it. U'badak ad bein ha'agapayim. He went up to bein ha'agapayim, which I guess is Reish Lakish Shita, which is a more makil Shita. The other case of lematim ha'agapayim would be underneath the wings, which is a further distance down. So we got up to that point, and in the meantime, as he gets to that point, v'shalach le'ed bein nisi of a kama ozo. So the nasi sent for him to invite him, and he got up and left. But he didn't finish going to lematim ha'agapayim. So now the shayla is that because he said he was finished, or because he wasn't finished, and he got up because of the beis nasi? So we don't know what the halach is. I don't know whether he got up because he said, I no longer have to check anymore, but I checked up to the point that you need be, right? Or did I get up because of the cover of the Nasi? I didn't want to delay going there, and if I had the time, I would have continued going further down, like Rav Yana. So I guess he had a suffix here. Right, we don't know what the story is. So I don't know if he got up because he was done checking, or he got up because he wanted to go to the Nasi's house because he was invited, and he didn't want to delay.
Why does that be? This bird have to be? Why does the spinal cord have to be checked?
So I thought two things: maybe then they checked each of the organs, or maybe there was a shot, something actually happened. Like we only check the lung, but if we see something, if there's a reglion with over on something else, then we do check. But for the most part, we don't. So maybe there was a reglion with over here, or maybe they were checking. I don't.
The lungs are kind of more of a check.
Okay, but the lungs, they do it. The lungs, we'll see today and tomorrow and more, we'll talk about the lungs. They require an actual internal investigation, and then outside they blow it up like a balloon, and it's like a tire. They put it in the water and they see if the bubbles, you know, they have the whole thing with the lungs.
Right.
Okay. Next case was the liver, okay? So, nikla ha-kaved. If the liver was removed, okay? The liver was removed, and Mishnah continues, the low nishtaya hamenekloma. According to our Mishnah, we've seen this before, that the only time it comes to trefa, if the liver is completely removed, right? It's a concept that the liver can regenerate. That's the whole thing. So, but Mishnah says, so the Gemara says, the implication is, ha nishtaya hamenekloma, sheirif. A little bit of the liver is left over, that's still kosher, right? Afagav to low havi kezayis, even less than kezayis, so the liver still stays over. It can, I guess, still function. I guess the liver is the place where the bile comes in. It cleans the bile, also cleans the blood. That's the purpose of the liver, right? So, and the people, yeah, up to a certain point, people can live without the liver, right? Global and also, that's what people can live without.
Right.
It regenerates. So hanishdayr hemena kulum kasheira afagav to low havi kezayis. The Hatnan, I, we have the Mishnah on Daf Nundala that says, Nikala Kaved, if the Kaved is removed, Vinishtayim Yemen of Kazayat Shera, only if a Kazayat is left over, it's kosher. The implication over there is that you have to have the implication. The explicit statement is that you have to have a Kazayat, and our Mishnah, the implication is that you don't even need a Kazayat, you just need to have a small amount. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, lo kasha, there's no kasha. Ha! The Mishnah over there, it's a Machlokas, in the Fanami. The Mishnah over there basically states, the Mishnah there basically is going towards the sheet of Rabbi Chiyah. All right, the Mishnah of Rabbi Chiyah, who says he has to have that. Right, that's Rabbi Chiyah. But how our Mishnah that tells you that you don't even need the Kazayas, that's Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe. He has Rabbi Chiyah, right, and we just read called Rabbi Chiyah Zarek Lei, Rabbi Shimon ben Rebbe Matvil Lei, Vesimanech Ashirin Mikamsin. So the whole Machlokas is how to read this. But Rav Shimon Rebbe basically holds that as long as you have a small amount of the liver, that's a valuable portion of the liver. That's a good portion of the liver. So Rav Chiyah would zorikle, one of the interpretations of Rashi is that he would throw out a behemoth that didn't have anything in the covet of a kazayin that he held it was treifa, as opposed to Rav Shimon bar Rebbe matzala. He would take the meat of this animal and actually would dip it, meaning he would eat this piece of meat of this animal, the simanach, and to know which one said it was kosher is Ashir Mekansin, that the wealthier people are more stingy. Rav Shimon is the son of Rebbe, who was a wealthy individual, and he, the rich guy, was more stingy, meaning that he kept more of the animal. I don't know why he's more stingy now, he just held it kosher, whatever the hell it was. Straight. But again, it was interesting over here. I'll read from Rabbi Lach on the Sefer Tumuni Chol. He says that the Gemara, right, one opinion requires only the minimal amount to remain, right? The Shira Porta. For according to the Zu, the liver is not inherently life-sustaining. The other opinion, which is acceptance halacha, the halacha lemaisa, we say that the liver is critical life-sustaining organ and thus requires at least an oxidius of the liver to remain. This is interesting. Rashi, the lashon that Rashi uses, right? Where's the lashon of Rashi? Rashi says, I can't find it, but Rashi uses the words, he says, that the small amount of liver says, leha'alos aruka, which basically is interpreted to produce healing, leha'alos aruka. So he quotes here from this book called Hatalmud v'Hachochmos HaRefuah by Dr. J.L. Katzenelson, Katzenelson from 1928. He says the quote that Rashi is quoting, the Tosefta, doesn't say Kadesha Yarata. It doesn't say that the words Kadesha Yarata in order that should heal, or Kadesha Yifka, enough to continue living. The term that the Tosefta used is Kadei Lahalos Aruka, enough to produce healing. What does that mean? So Dr. Katzenelson says it implies that the remaining section of the liver will not simply mend its incision and continue to function, but it will actually regenerate, right? It will bring forth new liver material, Lahalos Aruka, to produce. Until the entire liver is completely healed. So this is an amazing phenomenon of the liver, because large sections of the liver surgically removed are replaced through regeneration. So modern science apparently found out about this regeneration of liver in 1894. But according to Dr. Katznelson, the Tosefta seems to be alluding to that based on the lashon. Wait, you know, a couple of times. Okay. Right, but using a lesser device, that's enough for it to work. But the lashon that the Tosefta uses is lahalos aruka, means to produce. Lahalos means to produce. So he's claiming, this Dr. Katznelson was claiming, and that Dr. Rabbi Lach is quoted, that means that regeneration. So if that means generation, then that's funny. Right. Close here, I remember there's a story, close here also, I remember a story in Greek mythology where a guy was punished, and he's I don't remember the guy, he's chained to a mountain, and that's because each night his liver would be eaten by the eagle, each day the liver would be eaten by an eagle, and then the next night the liver would regrow in order to, for enough, just enough of the eagle to eat it again the next night. Okay, what's it called? What was it? What do you mean? Okay.
What's the truth of that? How's the liver gone? Cancer?
Or what? I don't know.
Something else has happened.
What if you're born without it? It's surgically removed. If you're born without a liver.
A liver transplant?
I don't know. We showed him how to have machlokes, but if you're born without a liver, if there is no liver when it was born. So the Rashba says that...
You can't survive.
Right, the Rashba says it's trafe, but it's a machlokes we showed him. You can't survive without a liver. I don't know. Maybe he's only born with a little small teeny liver. I don't know what happens. Okay. Hahu pul musa to asa pumbadisa. So there was this big... a bunch of soldiers were running into Pupadisha. So Arku Rabbi Rav Yosef. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef are running away from them. So as they're running away from them, Pagabuhu Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera comes and meets them. Okay, Amalahu. So he says to them, Arokai, you, those who are, you the fleers, the ones who are running away, let me teach you something. Kizayas Sha'amru, the Kizayas that we say has to be left over by the Kaveh, it has to be at a specific point. Bimokom Mara. It has to remain in the Mokom Mara. Right, which is at the juncture of the with the gallbladder. If the liver is somehow connected to the gallbladder, so the liver that remains has to be at the juncture with the gallbladder. So the whole to do about what's Rabbi Zeira telling Rabbi Rav Yosef this halacha as they're running away. So he quotes the Plesi, which is I guess Rav Yosef and Ibishis, that the part that the kezias is by the makom mara. He says because somehow that's very important for the life. And people who have to leave over a certain amount next to this life-sustaining organ. So he's alluding to them. Well, how are you running away from now? You have to stay with everybody because it's Mara here. So you guys are the Chatamim Chacham and you're the life-sustaining organs. What are you doing running away? Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense why he's saying this Dafka at this time. So that's according to Rav Zeir. Rav Zeir says it has to be left near the makam, near the gallbladder. But Rav Adda bar Ahava Omar, the makam shechaya. It has to be at the vital area. Makam shechaya, at a vital area. So Rashi quotes the Machlokas, not sure whether this vital area is either the diaphragm or the right kidney. So essentially, we're going to have to now be machmir for all three shitas, and that's what Gemara says. Amar Papa Hilkach Ba'ina Kazayis Makamara. We need a Kazayis left over by the gallbladder. Uveba'ina Kazayis Makamshichayim. We also need a Kazayis left over by the what's called the vital area, which we're not sure is the diaphragm or the gallbladder. So essentially, diaphragm or the right kidney. So essentially, we have to have three Kazayim left over at these different areas. Okay. Ba'i Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah has the following question. Mislachet mahu. Okay, let's say he didn't find the kezayis in one spot, but if you combine it together, a chat kezayis here and a chat kezayis there, mahu. It has to be three separate kezayis we're talking about, or does it have to be kezayis in whole, you combine it throughout. Right, so mahu. Then he says also, kiritsua mahu. What if it's like long and thin? I don't know what the shayla is there, as opposed to being, I guess the liver is a more thick thing, but maybe if it's long and thin, what's the shayla about that? And then boy, Rav Ashi, kezayis merudad. I think you just flat. I don't know how he translates merudad. Kezayis merudad mahu. Is that considered enough? If it's shaped like that, is that enough of a leftover? The Gemara says teku. We have a teku. I'm assuming, like Rashi always says, they're always machmir when we have these tekus. Okay. Fine. Boi minei Rav Zrika Mirayami. So Rav Zrika asked Rav Yami. Nidalgla kavei. Let's say the kaveh sort of moved or separated or fell off where it's supposed to be, right? And it's hanging by a thread, I guess. The mu'ura b'tavshe. It is still just sort of hanging on, I'm not sure what tavshe, with certain ligaments or certain... It's afas. I don't know where it's hanging. It's hanging on in one certain place. Is it diaphragm, as he calls it? Okay, it's hanging on the diaphragm. So mahu, is that considered good? Meaning it's nothing, the liver... still extant, but it's sort of hanging inside. And that must have been a traumatic injury in the inside and separated. So Amar Leh, so Rebbe asks, Rebbe Ami says to Rebbe Zrika, Dil Dozeh, you're talking about this hanging, any day amount, I don't understand what you're talking about. Iwaman da Amr Makamara Haika. If it's connected, if according to my Amr says it has to be connected to the gallbladder, well it is. And if you're telling me, Iluman the Amr Makashikhaya, it has to be connected to this quote vital area, well it is as well. So as long as it's connected, it's fine. I don't care if it's separated from everything else. As long as it's connected to one of these two areas, according to Ishita, that would be fine. Okay. Adkan the Kave. Now we're going to start talking about the lungs, which is going to bring us, you know, tomorrow probably more into the concept of the adhesions and glass, and the lungs are the most important thing because, you know, the lungs all require zika. So I'll just quote the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Siman Lama Tess of Aleph says, quote, Ein sarach livdok achar shum treifos min hastam. On a regular instance, you don't have to check after any of the treifos. What? Siman Lama Tess. Yeah. Right? Ein sarach livdok achar shum treifos min hastam. Min hastam. Chutz min ariya. Except for the lungs. Sarach livdok bebehema bechaya in ish bosircha. You have to check in the behema and the chaya, because whether you have these circles, these lesions or adhesions, I think they call them. The chol haporitz get there. Le'echol, below bedika. Whoever eats animal without checking the lungs, yishafenu nafash. The snake should beat him. If you know, haporitz get there, it's a nafash. That's a possibility all the time. You violate what the Rebbe Chanan say, you have those problems. Rashi wrote on Daf Yud Beis and also said on Daf Nunam Beis, he said the reason why you have to is because it's shchiach l'mtsol b'hem nekeh. These adhesions or these shchiach or issues with the lungs are prevalent, and the bedika of the lungs is done according to the way the Shulchan Aruch describes. There are two parts of the process. First, you have what's called the bedika's pnim, which is done right after shchita, which basically after you push the organs aside, so the bodik puts his hands into the animal's cavity, right, and he feels the ria with his hands. What happens if he feels the circle there? Well, the Gemara's going to talk about it at the end of today's daf. And then afterwards, I guess they have what's called the bedikas chutz, which is done. You take the lungs out, right, and then you kind of blow it up like a balloon and see if any air escapes, to see if there are any holes in it. Okay, so that's the lungs. So Rav Ushmua Rav Asi, right, the Amri. Karma ila the army law kamer tata. So basically, the lungs is also it's similar to have an upper and lower membrane, right? You have a kamer ilah, which is a translucent, thin, moist membrane. It's known as the pulmonary or the visceral pleura.
Pleura.
Okay, that it envelops and adheres to the lung. And then you have the kamer tata, which is a lower membrane. That is red in color, and it's firmly attached to the lung, and it's very difficult, according to the Meiri, at least, to separate from the lung. So if the lower membrane is... out of the inner. But I just want to explain, one's white and one's red. So if the lower membrane, meaning the red one, is pierced, then air is going to enter between the two membranes, and that's, of course, the upper membrane to swell. So now, Rabbi Shmuel said that the ri'ya shenikva, right, you have a hole in the ri'ya, that is, renders it a trefa. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Ravasi, the Amri, Karma Ilah. That's talking about the top membrane, the upper membrane. The Amri Law, but some say we're talking about the Karma Tata, the lower red membrane. Meaning, I guess we have to be both. Right, it's an interesting shy, I'll do it in a second. So Amr Rav Yosef Bar Menume, the Amr Rav Nachwan, the Simanach, your Simon, to know which one, if it's pierced, causes the trefa, is Kituna de Varda de Mancha Bareya, the one dressed as red, which is the Kruma Tachton, which is the lower one. So Mura then says, now Pshita, it's Pashut, in Nikov Ilah, if there's a piercing in the upper membrane, below Inka Tata, but the piercing does not penetrate to the lower membrane, right, Tata Omegin. So the lower membrane is going to protect the lung, and therefore it's not a trefa. Uchid the Rabba, like Rabba, the Amar Rabba, Ha Reya the Iglit. You have a Reya that sort of was peeled. The upper membrane was peeled away. To Ahina Sumaka. Now it totally looks red. Usually it doesn't look red. If you peel away the upper membrane, it's going to look red. It's Kshera. It's Kasher. So if the upper membrane is pierced, but the lower membrane is not, he says, then it's fine. That's going to protect. Inka Tata. But let's say the lower membrane somehow got pierced without the upper membrane getting pierced, below Inka Vala, Megin alo Megin. Is that upper membrane going to now protect the lung, so it would be a trefa or not? So, Kli Gaba, Rabba. It's a membrane above the lung. It's a covering. It envelops the lung. It's not the lung itself. The problem is, if they protect the membrane. So what happens if those membranes come out? So the lung may then exude the air. It may come out. So, Kligabar of Achav Ravina, Chal Amar Lo Megin. One says it doesn't protect, and therefore, even if the lower membrane is pierced and the upper membrane is not, it's still considered a trefa. The Chal Amar Megin. One says that it would protect. The Hilchasa and the Halacha that is Megin, it does protect. Because the Rav Yosef, like the story of Rav Yosef. What story of Rav Yosef? But they actually say there's an interesting. The halacha is that the upper membrane will protect the lower membrane, the lung, if the lower membrane is pierced. There is a machlokas rishonim. If you have to have the, in order for it to be, if you have to sort of have, basically, the behema is treif, right? The behema is considered treif if the, the behema is not considered treif until the hole is in both membranes. Either membrane will protect the other. So the machlokas are showing him, does those two holes have to be next to each other? As well, they're in different parts of the lung. Right? So the Rashba says that, yeah, these holes have to be next to each other. So it goes from one to the other. But if you have one pierced up here, one pierced down there, according to the Rashba, that will still be protected. Because at this point, the top one is protected. At this point, the other one is protected. And that's what the Shofanar Path of the Simulam of Vavsif Aleph, that, right, and that's the Dasa that goes to Shri, and only Rishon, but the others say, no, sorry, that's the Shofanar, but the others say that even if the Kavim are in two separate spots, Lo Keneged Zeh, then it's still Shreif. That's how the Ramah Paskins, I guess the Machlokes is whether the air will penetrate one and then circulate around and until it goes out the other one, whether or not they just have to be next to each other. Okay, so they said the halachas like Rav Yosef, that basically that each one protects. What's the story of Yosef? The Amar of Yosef, Hai Reya de Afsha, right? You have this Reya that when I guess they would blow into the lung, they would sort of hear a hissing noise. They would hear a hissing noise come out. If we know where this hissing noise is coming from, Mosvin Allah Gadfa Oruka Ogiva. You put on it either some sort of feather or some spit or some straw, you put it on there. If one of these things that you put on top of where the hissing noise is coming out flutters, so to speak, so then you know air is escaping. You know air is escaping, and therefore trefa, because there's a hole in the. Wait to the next one. Wait, the next one's a tire. The elo, and if it doesn't blow away, that's sheir. Now the elo didn't hit up, so we don't know where the hissing noise is coming from, right? You don't know where the hole in the tire is. My tinan mischilsa the my psure. We bring a vat of lukewarm water, right? Umosvina la begavot, and we put the rea in there and see if it bubbles. That's the story we do with the tire. You check whether every time you find a nail on the tire, you always go move around and check. It has to be lukewarm water. Why? The chamini lo, we can't put it in hot water. The kabze, because that will cause the lukewarm water will cause the rea. Sorry, the warm water will cause the rea sort of to constrict. To shrink, right? And therefore, I guess maybe it'll crack, because of its shrinkage, and that will give you a false negative, so to speak, or a false positive, depending on which way you're looking at it, right? And also, the kiriri lo, you can't put it into cold water, the mitarshe, because that's going to cause the lung to harden, like a stone. It's going to get harder, and I guess that would also, when it gets hardened, it will cause a further rip. So you get these false results. Therefore, ella mosvina de pashure, you have to put it in lukewarm water, okay? Then nafchina la, and I guess you blow into it. E mivat spitsa trefa. So if you see where the water is coming out in this lukewarm water, you see it bubbling somewhere, you see it, it's a trefa. Elo, if it doesn't come out, it's a shera. But what we're talking about? We're talking about a lung that was hissing. So what's going on? It's got to be coming from somewhere. So Gemara says, Bahad Afsha, now what do you hear the hissing noise coming out of it? Zika de Benihu. There must maybe be that there's a hole in the inner one and not in the outer one, and the air is escaping in between the two membranes, and that's what you're hearing. You're hearing the air from. Oh, yeah, because we paskin that even one protects. Okay, fine. Alright, the halacha, I think we paskin that what you hear a hissing noise is gone. We assume that there's a hole once you hear the hiss. I think that's.
Halacha.
No, but I'm saying if you stop as I hear a hissing noise coming out of the lung, I don't know that they say okay there's a hole in it. Yeah, well, the blowing is to check to see if there's a hole without the hissing. If you hear coming out, I guess to assume that there's air escaping and there must be a puncture. I don't know the mice, so we'll have to look into it. Okay. Ahini sumaka diyabes lide sima. Gufa. Okay. And going back to what Rava said. Rava said, Amar Rava, hai rea de iglin. Right, so you had this rea, this lung, that the outer membrane was basically peeled away. So all you have, kahina sumaka, so all you have is the lower membrane, and it looks red, because the lower membrane, we said, is red, right? It's kshera. That is considered, that is still kosher. Don't worry, Manasseh, I'll leave glot for you tomorrow. So, I'll leave the glot story for you tomorrow. Okay. But Amar Rava, Rava also continued and said, rea she'edima miksasa kshera kula trefa. Let's say the rea was wounded, so to speak, and you take it out, and it turned red. So I guess it has the outer membrane, and it turns red. I guess somehow it bled, right? So it turned red. If it's only red in part of the lung, we're going to say it's kosher. Kula trefa, I guess, if it's red in the entire lung, we say it's trefa. I guess that was a very damaging blow, and that's going to cause it to be a trefa. So, Amalei Ravina L'Rava, Miksasa my timer. Why are you telling me that if it's only red in part of it, it is kosher, because you're saying the hajabaria, because it's going to return and it's going to heal, that it's going to heal, and therefore it's not trefa, but kulanami. So even if the whole thing got red, hajabaria, it should also go back and heal. What's the difference? A big blow or a small blow? It should heal. So Gemara says, me, do we not learn in a brisa? Right. This is talking about the concept of killing shrutzim on Shabbos, right? So you have the 8 shrutzim in the Torah. If you chovel on them on Shabbos, you chayev, even if no blood came out. So again, one of the things that's us on Shabbos, if you chayev a korban and you misa made it, it's chavola, right? That's what we learned in Shabbos after Zion. But there's a major machlokas we've shown him as to what is the reason why chavola is us on Shabbos. According to the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Ches, Halacha Zion, the Isra is because of Mefarik, which is a Tol of Dosh. You're kind of separating the blood from its source, and that's considered a Tol of Dosh, because that right that moves down. Even the blood doesn't come outside, you still remove the blood from its inner source to an outer source, where I guess where it comes to make a black blue marker or anything like that. You see the blood rushing to that area. Others say that it's because of Shochet, Mali Katapalga, Mali Katapula, it's considered part of Shchita. And some say it's because of Tzoveya, coloring. And some say it's an Isra of Metilas Neshama. Right? Fine. So what happens here now is you have these eight shrots in the Torah that Bechovel and them on Shabbos, even if no blood comes out, you just see the blood congealing, sort of not congealing, you know, coalescing underneath the skin, that is still considered a Melach on Shabbos. But Ushar Skatzim Urumashim, but the other Skatzim, these small ones, like I guess the example I give are frogs, right? Then you're not Chayiv Asher Yetzim Mehem Dam, until blood actually comes out, right? The Chit Tema, now if you're going to say, Vishmornet Sratzim Medamin La, you're going to say that the Reya should be similar to the Shmornet Sratzim, because, why? Because it's saying a redness to it. Is an issue. Just like a shvatzim, a redness to it is the issue. So to hear a redness to it is an issue, right? You have an issue because you have the sanya, you learn in the brisa, nitzrar hadam afish lo yatz. But each one of the shvatzim, even if the blood just comes together, even though it doesn't come out, so ihati afilu miksasanami. So over there, you don't need all the blood to come out to make it red everywhere. So to over here, we need all the blood to come out. Even if it's red in certain parts, that also should be considered a significant amount of a blow to render it a trefah. Why should you make a distinction? We don't make a distinction by shvatzim. I don't know, the comparison is a little difficult for me, but I think the comparison basically is that you have these two instances where if you do a blow and nothing comes out, but you only see it, the redness underneath the skin, so to speak, that is a significant blow. So why over there makes no difference whether it's complete or partial? So to here it shouldn't make a difference whether it's complete or partial. As long as the blood has moved, that should be sufficient to render it in Hilchos Shabbos a melacha, and in Hilchos Trefus a trefah. So the Gemara says, you're right, in the Hanami, El Loshna, right, El Loshna. There's no chilek b'kulu miksa, and no matter what, if the lung is turns red, I guess from a blow, it is not matrif, I think is what Rashi says. Rashi says it's kosher, and that's what Tosos says in the name of the Bahag in the Rif, but Tosos quotes Rabbi Elchananel the opposite way. He says, El Loshna is lehepe, that bein kula bein miksa, it's trefa. Right? It's very, it's unknown. The Gemara, Loshna is El Loshna. El Loshna what? In both ways. Loshna mean that they're both miksasa and kula, both kasher, miksasa and kula, both trefa. Okay. Amar Rava says, Reya sheyotsha miksasa, part of the Reya, I guess, dries out, it's trefa. The kama, what's the shear of it being dry that created a trefa? I'm not going to have you explain this. Amar Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava, kidei sheti parech b'tzipora. Does that mean that if you would run your fingernail over it, it would sort of crumble. Fingernail, it would crumble. You know, it's like you have dry skin, you would go like that, it crumbles off. So maybe it's the same thing. So, come on, who does this go like? Right? So the Gemara says it goes like Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam. So, Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam. The Sanya, we have a Brisa that talks about the certain mumim, right? You have a Bechor. Talk about a Bechor in this Brisa. Right? So, right? It should say it's not, because it's a Mishnah in Bechoros. But, it's talking about certain mumim that are matir you to shech the bechor in every place. You don't have to bring it to Yerushalayim. And amongst them is the ear getting dry. The ear dries up. And the Mishnah says, Ezehu Yevesha, what's considered dry in that case? That the Tanna Kamma says, She'im kinokev ve'enu mosir tipas dam. I guess if it gets nicked and no blood comes out, totally shriveled up, it gets nicked, it comes out, enu mosir tipas dam. But Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam Omer, Yevesha means Kedei Shetihei Nefrechas Mitziporin. It has to shrivel or has to fall off with the running of your fingernail across it. So I guess they're going to move. The same thing, dry over there equals dry over here. The Gemara says, Afilu Tein Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan, who by the Bechor say that dryness means that there's no blood in the ear, that's the Gabe Ozen Bechor, the Kasholit Bezika, and Lo Haja Baria. That's because it's an exterior organ, and the wind can grab it, and it is not going to heal if it dried up. So that's why they have that sheet over there. But aval reya, the reya, which is an internal organ, the lo kashal be'avira, that the air or the wind doesn't have an impact on it, hajer beria, it would still could, theoretically, if it reaches only the level of dryness, where it doesn't motzi tipas dam, right, there, they would hold like Rabbi Yossi and stated it's only considered dry until it's the Brechas B'Tziporin. Someone mentioned to me that there's a Shaila from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein about someone who had a stroke. He's a righty, and he had a stroke, and now his left hand is completely incapacitated and immobilized. Where should he put the filling? He put the filling on the left hand and the right hand, and Rabbi Moshe makes his diyun based on the shitas over here of what's considered a dried up limb and what's not, whether or not you transplant. I want to find that shaila, and I think that's absolutely fascinating. Okay, so now one more thing. Amar the Amar Rava. Let's go a little further. So the Amar Rava, Ha Reya, if you keep going, Ha Reya, the Kaima Glide Glide. I guess it has these sort of like ridges or these bumps in it. Right, or ukume, it has these black stains on it. Chazusa, shera. I don't know the chazusa means when you look at it, it's kosher. What? Different colors? It's kosher. Amar Meimar Mishmei Derava, Ain Ma.
Cow smoke.
Well, maybe it was near a smoker, secondhand. Right, so Amar Meimar Mishmei Derava, Ain Makifin Vivavui. Vivavui are these blisters. This is a blister that's filled with liquid that develops between the membranes and the lung itself. So it causes swelling on the surface of the lung, or the left, that's not common in America. Ain makip and bivui. I guess we can't compare one to another. In other words, if you have an animal that was bred in a trefa and you have a lung, you can't look at the blister in one and compare it to a blister in another and say, just like it was this animal is a trefa, so this animal is a trefa, you can't ain makip and bivui. Okay? Tomorrow we'll talk about the sirchos, which is the cloth. Okay? Have a good day.